This morning, our first reading is from 1 Corinthians 1. I'm reading from the New International Version, and I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13, verses 17 through 20, and ending with verses 26 through 31. It reads as thus: I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Cleo's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you say, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cleophas, another still, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be empty of his power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intellect I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who have become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And he went from there and he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Friends, for the word in creation, the word in scripture, and the word within us, thanks be to God. Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every single one of our hearts Be wholly pleasing and acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be a figure skater. The ability to glide gracefully across the ice and fly through the air. That was what I wanted to do with my life. But you know, I discovered that not owning a pair of skates and being unable to ice skate severely limited my ability to do this. What did you want to be when the possibilities seemed endless? Did you hope to be an astronaut, a doctor, a firefighter, a police officer? Did you want to be an Academy Award-winning actor or a rock and roll superstar? I have a friend whose little one yearns to be a garbage collector. He waits by the window, and when he sees the big truck coming down the street, he runs out to meet his hero, who is so kind and gentle with him. He wants to be a garbage collector. Now, what do you want to be when you grow up is probably not a question that was ever asked of the brothers, Peter and Andrew, James or John, who along with their father Zebedee was sitting in a boat, mending their nets in today's gospel reading. These men were fishermen. Like their fathers before them, and probably their grandfathers too, fishing was the family business. Life was hard. The work was too. In addition to catching the fish, these men had to clean and haul their catch to the shore, where hopefully they could sell it and do it all again tomorrow. And then one day, a day like any other day, these men looked up. And that new teacher, the one who had recently come to town, the one who taught in the local synagogue, the one who proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," he was standing right in front of them. And he looked each man in the eye, and he made an offer that forever changed their lives. "Come, follow me, and I will help you fish for people." Now, I don't know if this was the first time or the 20th time these men heard Jesus' invitation. Matthew doesn't tell us. But for whatever reason, this time, the men accepted Jesus' call. They put down their nets and they followed him. They stepped out in faith, leaving behind the lives and the routines they knew, joining Jesus on an undertaking that would change the world. Do you know what else Matthew's text doesn't tell us? It doesn't tell us why each of these men accepted Jesus' invitation. The why is important, and it was unique for each man, just as it is for each of Jesus' followers gathered here today, in the sanctuary here, or in the sanctuaries of our homes. Each of us has a fisherman moment. We're going about the daily routines of our lives. We're filling the dishwasher, finishing Zoom calls, doing our homework, grabbing a cup of coffee with a friend. We look up, and there he is. What stirred in your hearts when you first heard Jesus' call to you? What do you experience all these years later when he extends his hand once again? Are you willing to change the lives you know, to follow him into strange and beautiful places? Does his being his disciple empower and embolden you to live good news lives, bringing the kingdom of heaven into your corner of the world? And if you haven't felt too bold lately, how can reclaiming your invitation to faithful discipleship help when life seems overwhelming and the competing voices for your attention are many? I find it helpful to remember that Jesus himself began this public ministry of his during a time of great personal and political upheaval. These chaotic times are not unknown to him. Hearing that his cousin John has been arrested, Jesus moves into the chaos and into the unrest with the proclamation, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I find that Jesus is always willing to step into our chaos. He is always willing to bring a word of blessing. We can trust that he will meet us in whatever state we find ourselves. The fishermen heard this proclamation. They were paying attention. They were open to God's movement in the world. So when Jesus stood in front of them, they were ready to accept his invitation, leaving behind their former lives and commitments. They were all in. It's important to remember that these men didn't follow Jesus one day a week and then return to their old lives for 6 days. Following Jesus, working to bring the kingdom of heaven into the midst of God's people, required a commitment to a radically different way of life. Jesus doesn't say to us, excuse me, if you have the time, could you come spend a few hours with me once in a while? He knows. He knows that to bring God's life-giving vision into a suffering world, one must be all in. Remaining close to Jesus, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, they witnessed his healing. They listened to his teaching. They grew closer to one another. They formed a community that loved and cared for one another. Now, did these followers of Jesus learn how to bring about the kingdom of heaven perfectly? History tells us they did not. They were, after all, human. But we do know that they made a difference. After all, 2,000 years later, here we are, still trying to live into their ministries. Sometimes those fishermen got it right. And other times they needed to repent, reorient themselves, and make sure they were following Jesus, and begin again. In this month of new beginnings, it is a good time for each of us, individually and corporately, to listen to Jesus, to repent and reorient ourselves, to discern where we have been following Jesus and where we have not. We need to examine our communities, our churches, our nation with the eyes of Jesus and name those places and practices for which we need to repent so that we can once again answer Jesus' call to help him manifest the kingdom of heaven in this time and place. Are we willing to be all in like those fishermen of old and leave behind our old plans and agendas? And step into an unknown future, trusting the one who made the angels sing and the ancient rulers fear. I'm reminded of a story I read about Barbara Brown Taylor, Episcopal priest, college professor, and prolific author in her book, An Altar in the World. Many years ago, when she was trying to discern God's call in her life, trying to figure out exactly what it is that God had in mind for her, she said, "I didn't have a single clue what I was supposed to do when I graduated. I didn't even belong to a church. So I began asking God to tell me what I was supposed to do. What was my designated purpose on this earth? How could I discover the vocation that had my name on it?" And one night, when my whole heart was open to hearing from God, What was I supposed to do with life? God said, anything that pleases you. And I thought, what? What kind of answer is that? Do what pleases you and belong to me. At one level, that answer was no help at all. I could be a priest or a circus worker. God really didn't care. At another level, I was so relieved that I sledded right down the stairs that night. Whatever I decided to do for a living, it was not what I did, but how I did it that mattered. God had suggested an overall purpose, but was not going to supply the particulars for me. If I wanted a life of meaning, then I was going to have to go and apply that purpose for myself. I love that. God encourages us to do what brings joy into our lives so we can bring joy into the lives of others and belong firmly to Him. Because if we belong to God, heart, soul, body, mind, and strength, we can't help but bring about the kingdom of heaven wherever we are. So, my friends, whether or not you have grown up and become what you most wanted to be, if you are a scientist, if you're in sales, if you teach or are a student, if you're a garbage collector, an accountant, or a fisher person, do what pleases you. But belong fully to God, living gospel lives, following Jesus wherever He may lead. And when you stumble, because we all will stumble, get up and begin again, living for and loving Jesus. It is in this way of living that we lead lives of meaning and purpose, lives that bring us joy, lives that bring about the kingdom of heaven in our little corner of the world, and proclaim to the world just whose we are. Oh, my friends, may it be so for you and for me, this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. As God does delight, God delights in every single one of us. We are created for justice and peace, to bring about God's kingdom wherever we go. And on this weekend where we commemorate Martin Luther King Jr. and his vision of a beloved community, it is good and right to remember that his work is not done, that we are called to continue to bring God's kingdom, to bring God's justice, to bring God's joy to everyone we meet. And as you go forth from this place, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, our heavenly Father and Mother, and may the abiding presence and friendship of the Holy Spirit rest on each and every one of you, this day and forevermore. Amen.